The Buddha's Last Instruction by Mary Oliver. Make of yourself a light, said the Buddha before he died. I think of this every morning as the east begins to tear off its many clouds of darkness, to send up the first signal. A white fan streaked with pink and violet, even green. An old man, he lay down between two solid trees, and he might have said anything, knowing it was his final hour. The light burns upward, it thickens and settles over the fields. Around him, the villagers gathered and stretched forward to listen. Even before the sun itself hangs, disattached in the blue air, I am touched everywhere by its ocean of yellow waves. No doubt, he thought of everything that had happened in his difficult life. And then I feel the sun itself as it blazes over the hills like a million flowers on fire. Clearly, I'm not needed. Yet I feel myself turning into something of inexplicable value. Slowly, beneath the branches, he raised his head. He looked into the faces of that frightened crowd. And we are that frightened crowd. As Mary Oliver says, even Buddha, in his final moments, she says, no doubt thought of everything that happened in his difficult life. Buddha's life was one of seeking and sharing. And there were times where things were very hard for him. At one point, there was a war about to burst forth. And he traversed to try to stop this war and could not. And many of his countrymen and friends were killed. We think of Buddha beginning this incredibly marvelous sangha. But by the end of his life, his sangha had dwindled and was actually rather small. At one point, his sangha split in two. Some people decided they could do a better job and left and created a different sangha. These must not have been easy moments. I've mentioned before the sutra where he describes stepping on a thorn, and the Buddha was in agonizing, terrible, terrible pain. There's a story of the death of a Zen master who, right before he is actually killed by bandits, screams in terror. The story of a very recent teacher who, when he was asked how it was right before he died, Zen teacher, he said, "It hurts." It's very interesting to hear these stories that things are not always easy for the people who we imagine are enlightened and who perhaps are enlightened, whatever that word may mean to you. And still, sometimes life is hard, painful, difficult. Buddha, in his final moments, thought back over that life. He very well might have said, "The first of the noble truths. Life includes pain. And that doesn't stop with practice." But he didn't say that. I love this beautiful description of the moment. Really, two moments interwoven, isn't it? Mary Oliver herself watching a sunrise, perhaps, bursting forth like a golden flowers. But telling the story, it sounds like it's Buddha watching the sunrise. And inspired by this very, very, very moment in which he is situated, of a sunrise, saying, "Make yourself a light." What does that mean? What is it that we do when we sit here together? I have to say, after the weeks away, I felt so happy to be back with you, to be sitting together, to be in this just warm community of people who care for one another, of people who practice with great sincerity. We might imagine that this navel gazing does nothing for our world. And of course, there is much to be done, and we should do it, be of benefit wherever we can. But this navel gazing is not nothing. This making of ourselves lights in this world. We are learning to pay attention. To pay attention to the vicissitudes of life, to the ups and downs, to the aches, the pains, the joys, the great happiness at reunion. We are learning to bear witness to everything with a big, compassionate heart. That's what our practice is. And in this practice of illumination, just illuminating, just seeing clearly what is here now. We come to appreciate our life. We come to appreciate the ups and downs. We come to appreciate each other. Don't you feel it just being here, being in this group together? Feel the way that this practice somehow brings forth a kind of love. I mean, so amazing to come back and be with you all and to just feel how powerfully that we can take it for granted. The love. It's wonderful. It's special. Sangha is something beautiful. We take refuge in our practice. We take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. And we practice in this way together of making ourselves a light, of shining that light within, attending to each and every feeling, thought, breath. And that very same attention opens wider and wider and wider to include each other. You must notice when we walk the way that our footsteps align. That can only happen because we are holding each other in our awareness. It's very touching. There is no final destination of this practice. The illuminating is it. The content of it keeps changing and changing and changing. We imagine, oh, I'll get to that stage where I'm above this or that. What would happen if you let go of that goal completely? And instead, just practice being a light, shining that light on whatever arose. We do get thrown into these dark tunnels sometimes, these experiences that just take hold of us. This whole notion of a demonic possession. not usually our metaphor, but I think there's something to it. Perhaps you can relate to those times where your mind and heart get possessed by something. And our practice is to watch and watch and notice that that too deserves our care and compassion, and that everything goes its own way. Everything passes and changes. It's a beautiful life. It's a difficult life. And in coming to sit together, we just agree to turn toward it in its every manifestation, to bear witness. And in that way, we make ourselves a light, not only to ourselves, but to others. Dogen says, to study the self is to forget the self. And in forgetting this self, we are illuminated by the 10,000 things. Each of us is one of those 10,000 things. We are illuminating each other. We think of Indra's net, we think of those diamonds shining in each little interwoven space of a net, reflecting each other. having traveled far and wide, I am so happy to be home, here, in this moment. I think I might hear crickets emerging in the late summer. So grateful to be with you.